You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good morning. I'm going to move these out here for a second while they clear off. How is everybody today? Is everybody awake? No? Didn't sound like it. Yeah? You are, Miss Carrie? Good. All right. So my name is Becca Clark. I'm the family pastor here. Some of you may know me. Some of you may not. So I wanted to introduce myself just a little bit. I was trying to figure out, like, because you don't know me, I'm usually hidden back with the kids. Also, side note, I need you guys to not be super quiet because I'm not going to know what to do with that because I usually teach kids. So I'm going to need some, like, feedback and question. No. So, yes, right. I'm going to be super distracted if you're all quiet. So, yes, take your shoes off, run around the room. Yeah. Exactly. Thanks, Miss Carrie. So just a couple things that you should probably know about me, all right? That have nothing to do with today, but that's okay. So first off, I love my sleep, okay? I love my sleep. If I could sleep 12 hours in a row, I'd be a happy camper, right? Second, that goes hand in hand with that, is I love coffee. So when I'm not asleep, I would like coffee. That'd be great. And the third thing, which kind of has to do with today, is I'm very accident prone. So if I fall off the stage, just know it's normal. It'll be great. So if we're all good with that. So this series has been pretty cool from what I've heard. I haven't been able to make it to everyone, but this series called Carved. So an opportunity for Shelter Church to get to know a little bit about what some of the other pastors and other leaders, what's made them, what's shaped them. And hopefully from a little bit of my story, you can take something away with it. I hope. I enjoy telling this part to my teens. So I also work with kids. I also work with the youth. So on Sunday evenings, we all meet, and it's also not quiet and distracting, and it's great. So, but just wanted to start with a little bit about my story. So I grew up in church. I would say I am blessed to have a boring story, right? I am blessed to be somebody who never remembers a time where I didn't know Jesus. My parents went to West Carrollton Naz. I grew up there. That's what I often refer to as home, because that's where a lot of the people still are that shaped me. I grew up, always had people that loved on me, people that came alongside my parents and loved on me, which I pray for all of our kids, that there's people that come along, mom and dad, and say, I'm going to choose to love you even though you're not blood. I'm going to choose to walk with you through the really difficult things. I'm going to choose to love you when it's really hard to go to mom and dad, so you can come to me and I'll go with you to mom and dad, right? So I had people who always said, if you are ever stuck in a wrong spot, you call me. I don't care if it's 4 a.m. Like, I had those people, and those people are so, I've learned more and more how important those people are, that we need them in our life. Kids, that can be the difference, night and day difference in how a kid, ends, you know, in adulthood. So just a little bit about that. You know, my children's pastor, my youth pastor, numerous mentors, from Sunday school teachers to small group leaders to all of that. But probably like middle school. So actually it was before seventh grade. I kind of got, God was like, ready? And I wasn't ready. So he got my attention one day. I don't even fully remember the whole day, but he got my attention one day and was like, guess what? Like, uh-oh, here it comes. And so I was like, okay, God's calling me to be, what is he going to call me to be, right? The things that I was interested in. So I was like, a police officer. I'm going to be a police officer. And he's like, haha, no. I'm like, okay. So then he called, and then he's talking, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be a vet. And he's like, you pass outside of blood. So that's probably not going to work out. Well, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's cool. And then I'm like, maybe I want to be an architect. And he's like, nope. I'm calling you to ministry. And I'm like, say again? Say what? What? What was that? Because I was really close with my children's pastor. I was really close with my youth pastor. I knew kind of what ministry entailed. It wasn't a foreign thing to me. I grew up in church. It was weird because as a middle schooler, I had this idea, a pretty good idea of what being a pastor meant. But I was like, I am way too young to know what I'm supposed to do with my life. That freaks me out. Like people talk, you know, your peers talk about things that they want to do. And it's these kind of crazy dreams. And you're like, well, I'm going to be a pastor. So, but as God worked on me and showed me kind of what that looked like as I went through middle school, went through high school, I was like, okay, you know, it's fine. I think I'm okay with it. And then high school came and was like, okay, so now you have to prepare for college. And what are you going to do? And where are you going to go? And how are you going to prepare for this calling? I'm like, whew, I need like a paper bag, right? I'm like, I know what this entails, and I don't think I'm okay with it. Like, I'm okay with these parts, but what about this part and this part and this part? And one of those parts is public speaking. Can you tell I'm not a huge fan? How can you not be a fan of public speaking? Thanks, Miss Carrie. How can you not be a fan of public speaking when you're going to be a pastor? Nope. Give me a kid or a teen any day, I'll talk their ear off. But anyway, so I had questions for God. It's not the easiest to ask God questions. Sometimes I started to feel like I was doubting God, but I just had questions. If I couldn't go to God with my questions, then who can I go to with my questions, right? So, and that's one thing that I've learned more and more is, you know, this world is crazy. This world is hard. There's all sorts of questions that I have. And there's more and more questions that some are, you know, in my personal walk with Jesus. And some questions are, how in the world did this happen? How, you know, this crazy, you know, world event, these crazy things that happen, these horrible things that happen, how does God let those happen? You know, those kind of questions, those are big questions. Whether you're a kid, whether you're a teen, whether you're an adult, there's all sorts of questions that we have. So we're going to look at some scripture, but I'm going to play a game. So because, I was told that I can do some different things, okay? So you have to hang with me. So Kaylee, you want to help me? There's good things in it. Bria, you want to help me? Come on. Okay, so we always talk about in kids' class, pick a table, okay? You can go over here. There you go. So we always talk in kids' class about when we look at the Bible, right? The Bible's in how many sections? How many big sections? Two big sections. The big sections. Old and New Testament, right? And what happens in the middle? How do we know when the New Testament starts? Jesus was born, right? So, and how many little sections? 66. Good job. So we always talk about those. So we're going to race to see if you can, who can get to the section first, right? To the verse. Ready? So I'll give you a hint. It's going to be in the New Testament. Okay. Just so you know that. So it's John chapter 20. So big 20, verse 19 is the start. So little 19. We're working on our books of the Bible in kids class. So New Testament, so it's in the back half, right? We're getting there. There's just a little bit of pressure. You can, yeah, right? You can like cheer, somebody cheer on Kaylee and somebody cheer on Bria. 2019, sorry. Big 20, big 20. Oh, good job, Kaylee. Awesome. I won't make you read it. Let me see. Good job. All right, there you go. Chick-fil-A. As Ashton knows, is like my third home. Good job, girl. Here, you can have one too. All right. So, good job. You can have a seat. I won't make you read it in front of everybody. It'd make me want to crawl in a hole. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and start this. John 20, verse 19 is where we're going to start, gives a little bit of a backstory. So that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So this is after Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, and he's coming back to this to the disciples. So verse 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, my favorite disciple, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We've seen the Lord," but he replied, "I will not believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hands in the wound in his side." So I tried to put, Thomas is like, I love Thomas. Thomas is awesome. But I try to put myself in Thomas's shoes, right? Have you ever, not just the disciples as a whole, but Thomas specifically. So for whatever reason, he was away from the rest of the disciples and missed out on this crazy opportunity. But he dealt with this horrible event that he was not expecting. The disciples had an idea of what Jesus was going to do. And they had no idea that, even though Jesus kind of told them, but they had no idea that Jesus would be killed. So talk about like the rug being taken out from under you, right? So Thomas is like brokenhearted. Like, I don't know if I would be, if I was in his place, I don't know if I would be able to get out of bed, right? I don't like getting out of bed anyway. But I don't know if I'd be able to get out of bed. I don't, like, that broke, like, everything around you is just shattered because he gave up everything for Jesus. He gave up his being with his family. He gave up a job. He was with Jesus 24/7. So we're going to keep on going in verse 26. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, and suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." And Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Like that moment, like I love it. Like I can just imagine it. Like, holy cow, that would be incredible to be in a room with Thomas and watch Thomas all of a sudden be like, "It is him. I understand now." Like, it's something so uncomprehendable that he finally could fathom. And the best part that I always take away from this story is, have you ever seen the V8 commercials? Should have had a V8 and they get smacked upside the head. Jesus didn't do that to him. Right? So Thomas is like, "Oh yeah." And Jesus wasn't like, "Come on, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to believe me." Like, he was patient with Thomas. He showed him that, like, he answered his question exactly how he needed him to. And it wasn't, I always also picture the original NCIS where Gibbs always smacks Tony in the head really hard, right? Because I've never wanted to do that to any teenager ever. you know, get the blood flow moving. Yeah. So I have another story for you. So Kylie, who was going to try to be here, but she had stuff for school. So Kylie's one of my teens. She's a junior at the Dayton Regional STEM School, and she's incredible. She's been, she's has a similar story. She's walked with Jesus probably for as long as she can remember. She has incredible parents and incredible family, and she, I would say, is wise beyond her years. She's incredibly intelligent, and she also, she's just great. She's going to be a world changer if she's already there. Like, she does great things for Jesus. She's believed in Jesus, but this past year, probably like 8 months ago, she started wrestling with Jesus. Like, what does this mean? And what does this mean? And how do I combine science and Jesus? Like, what does that look like? And then she started wrestling even more so with, man, God calls me to the whole world, to take him into all nations, but I am one person. How do I do that? And she was at a point where, kind of a crossroad. She had to pick one way or another, and she wasn't going to be lukewarm. She was either going to be all in or she was going to be all out. And if she couldn't get answers to her questions, she was going to be all out. She wasn't going to believe something half-hearted, which is, I mean, for a teenager, that's pretty clear. Like, she wasn't just going to sweep it under the rug and keep on going. She wanted answers, but she had no idea how to get those. And she dealt with some pretty crazy anxiety. So me and her, we talked about anxiety. She couldn't sleep at night. It was so bad. She would have rapid heartbeat. Like, all of these things happened to Kylie, and it's really hard to watch, right? So I wanted to be like, I'll just make it better. Here's your answers. It's all good. Don't worry about it, right? I want to do that for a lot of teens. I want to do that for a lot of kids. But that's not what God calls me to do. That's not helping her. Even though I feel like I'm helping her, I'm not helping her. And she needed to figure this out. And so we prayed a lot. We talked a lot. How's God going to answer this? I don't know. But he's going to meet Kylie exactly how she needs him to. And so we went to teen camp, talk about my love for sleep. I got none. So, and teen camp was the week after kids camp, so 2 weeks of no sleep, and it was great. No, it was a lot of fun, fun and great services and great worship and more fun and canoeing, and all of these things happened, and it was a blast. And one time after one of the services, I think we probably had like 8 services within 5 days. Kylie came up to me, and she's like, I gotta find the speaker. I'm like, okay, that's great. Go find him. That's what he's here for. He loves to talk to you guys. Acts more like a teenager than an adult anyway, so go for it. Find him. And I later find out that in small group with Kylie, she goes, he answered my questions. Like, I'm good. Like, I get it. And I was like, holy cow, this is great. Like, and I then pulled myself back and was like, I don't understand, because that is not what I understood his message to be, right? I took it in a whole different way, but it answered in a moment. She was like, it just hit me. Like, it was all answered. Science, how I'm supposed to grow my garden, and then my garden can help others. But if I don't focus on mine first, then it's not going to do anything for anybody else. And so it was just so cool to hear her talk, and like, you could hear the fire in her heart instantly. So it's just, I love her story, and she did give me permission to share her story, she's going to change the world, guys. It's going to be great. I keep telling her she should be president. It'd be awesome. She'd be great at it. So that is her light bulb moment, and I love her light bulb moment, we're going to talk about a bottom line in class, right? We always have a bottom line that we walk away with, right? If you can walk away with one thing, this is what I want it to be. So I want you to remember, so whatever happens, remember that God's bigger than your questions. It's so cool for me to think about Kylie. And we always talked about Thomas, doubting Thomas as he's known. He's put with this, as I grew up and learned about the disciples and what happened after Jesus died, I always put it on this negative light. Like, how dare he question Jesus? But I have questions for Jesus. I had questions when I was, you know, what do I do? Like, I need these answers before I can fully accept God's call. I want to talk about these things. And it didn't happen in a split second. It was over a long amount of time. It was with many conversations with my mentors and with my pastors. And it all led up to a moment, and I was like, oh, I get it. Like, it makes sense to me. But I was constantly leaning into Jesus as well. So I didn't have these questions and be like, whatever, and walk away, right? I was like, I have this question. I know you're here for me. I know you're listening. You're a big boy. You can take my questions. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I also want to figure this out so I can grow deeper with you, right? So you have to choose, when you do have questions, you have to choose, okay, am I going to lean into Jesus, or am I going to be stubborn and say, you're not answering it the way I want you to, so whatever, like, I'm done. That's, you have to make those choices when you ask God questions. So whatever happens, remember God's bigger than your questions. Does that make sense? You guys are too quiet. So, thanks. Yeah, Doc. Sure. Thanks, Doc. I'm surprised I haven't gotten that before. We'll see if 11 o'clock does that. We'll see. So I was kind of when I accepted that call, my first call was to youth ministry, and that's what I thought God had for me, and he had way more than that. And little did I know then that I was going to actually work for, and my bosses were going to be people that loved me as a kid. And so Chris and Ryan were able to see me and watch me grow and be a part of that. And I don't know if that would have affected it differently. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. So I was able to, God opened door for shelter, and he made it perfectly clear. And he's always made it very clear for me. But I had to wrestle with God in those moments. So I encourage you, when you do have questions for God, it's okay. I still have questions, and I think it's probably going to get answers when I'm finally in heaven with Jesus, right? Like my cousin who died, and it wasn't okay. Like it was totally, he was 28. He shouldn't have died, right? I have those questions. Why does stuff like that happen? How does, I know it broke God's heart. I know it wasn't his plan for him. Like he was incredible, but he's also with Jesus. And so I get to, there's questions. So I also, I always think of, I babysit every now and then. I babysat four kids last year. It was several times a week. And the little boy, it was three sisters and a brother. The little boy was 4 years old. And talk about questions, right? And so, but what happens when you answer a kid's questions? They understand, yeah, why? All the time. Why? Me too. So, but when they answer it, when you answer those questions, no, you can't jump from the balcony onto the couch because I don't want to take you to the hospital. Oh, I get that, kind of, even though they ask you again in 5 seconds. But it starts to shape their understanding. Well, God does the same thing to us. He shapes our understanding. He grows us deeper and deeper. So I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up. And I want to encourage you to dive into your questions. It's okay, but lean on people who love you and who encourage you. And you don't have to walk that alone. You don't have to be alone in your questions. God created us to be in community with each other. And when people who love you surround you, it can be an incredible thing. So I'm going to pray. We always talk about this in kids' class too. So when we pray, we fold our hands, we bow our head, we close our eyes. It's respectful to, and why do we do that, right? I try and answer those questions. It's respectful to those around us, but it's respectful to God. And it creates a great space where you can meet him exactly where you're at. So, God, thank you so much for today, for this morning, that we get to spend time together, and that you're always with us. Even when you don't answer our questions the way we want you to or the time that we want you to, but that you're always there. You never leave us. And we can wrestle with you and we can figure things out with you and have you show us more about who you are. I pray that you be with us today as we leave church and be with us this week, school and work and everything that we face this week, that we can take you with us and we can be your light in some really dark places. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. In your name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.